Good morning, everybody. It's so wonderful to see you all. We'll be having a great treat today. We're so privileged. Okay. I'm so excited. We're so privileged to have Pastor Alex Castillo to teach us today. He was here last week. He taught in our senior pastor staff dev, and they had a blast. Tapos kahapon, we applied the principles that he taught them dun sa ating VMA pastors meeting. About 90 pastors were there at the youth hall, and we applied the things that he taught, and then we did some facilitation, and it was a wonderful experience for all of us. So just one session with him last week with the pastors is already making waves in all our churches. And so I met Pastor Alex when he was the chairman of the Jaira Foundation. It's a foundation that helps church planters. And he was instrumental in helping about 5 church planters in Victory in the provincial churches. Malaking tulong po yung ginagawa ng Jaira Foundation with us. Not just in terms of resources, but also in terms of management support dun sa ating mga pastors. So, yung credential ni Pastor Alex is just, it's so long. But what I'm so impressed about his credentials is that he started from, it says here, ang unang work ni Pastor Alex is with Procter & Gamble as a brand assistant. And when we were talking about it, hindi maalis sa isip ko that there was a time he was driving those trucks with Procter & Gamble and going to their distribution points. And then he moved up to the ranks. And then he also became a part of Pepsi. Ganun din. He spent 2 months in the field and 1 month in the office in cycles. So this guy is not just a management leader, but he has been there with the ranks. And what Pastor Alex is known for, na hindi natin naririnig masyado, no? You're familiar with, is that he's the ex-CEO of Del Monte, Philippines, in a time where there was a financial crisis, not only in the company, but also in the nation. And he was the one responsible for Kitchenomics. How many of you know that household name? No? Ako, I grew up watching television and seeing those 5-minute cooking sessions sa Itbulaga. And only to learn that I'd meet the person behind it. So there was a time we were collecting those labels, Sir Alex. Tapos binalikan ko, nakalagay doon, nakapirma si Pastor Alex. Oh. Merong signature niya doon sa likod ng label ng Del Monte. And well, so much for that. What we can really gain from this person, aside from the management skills that he will impart to us, is the Spirit of God is in him. I told him this morning that yung reservoir of knowledge and skills na meron siya is only the cherry on the sundae, because the real deal is that this man is filled with the Holy Spirit. He has a kingdom mindset, and it's an honor for us to have him as our teacher today. So Pastor Alex, will you please, can we welcome Pastor Alex Castillo as he teaches us? I hope you don't mind, I keep calling you Pastor. I failed to mention, he was one of the leaders in CCF. He used to be one of the, part of the pastoral team in CCF before he joined us here at Victory Fort. So he's a member of Victory. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pastor Addo. Good morning po sa inyong lahat.
Good morning.
It's an honor for me to be asked to develop the management module of the Every Nation Staff Development Program. And so I I have prepared for you something very short. What you will go through, the senior pastors went through in 3 hours. You will go through it in 6 hours. So today and next Wednesday. Okay, so there will be some disconnect from the workbook and the slides, probably two or three slides only. I'll tell you where the disconnect is, because this is the admin-specific management program. Okay, this is the group that makes the senior pastors look good. Amen? Yeah. All right. Instead of doing the classical PLOC planning, leading, organizing, and controlling, which is the textbook definition of management, what I want to do is to impart to you a mindset. I call it the GM mindset, as in general management mindset. Okay, I actually have a full-day seminar entitled How to Develop the GM Mindset. And I'm going to give you some of the highlights of that seminar. These are practical concepts that are based on my experience. It's never too early to learn general management. The best time to learn GMship is when you're not a GM. As a matter of fact, even if you don't plan to be a GM, and even if your career trajectory will not bring you to become a GM, as a functional person, you will be a better person at your function if you have a GM mindset, okay? Because you will see the bigger picture. In Procter & Gamble, I was 19 years old when they told us, you are a general manager of your business. And I looked at them and I figured, these guys have been smoking something. I mean, how can young kids become GMs of their businesses? But that, it was as early as my first job, and we were taught, you are the general manager of your business. So what I want you to do is to think this way. I am the general manager of my function, okay? And think of yourselves as the top admin person of a church, of a Victory Church, because one of these days you will be. The fastest way to develop this mindset is to be issue-driven, okay? In your head, the question should always be, what is the issue, or what are the issues? And so let's talk about what are the burning issues with management to begin with. There are two issues. Number one, strategic accuracy, okay? A commodity that is in terribly short supply among organizations today. Peter Drucker, in his classic book, and if you haven't read it, you must read it, The Effective Executive. I read this very early in my life, and it amazed me, okay? The Effective Executive. Peter Drucker said, the effective executive is not concerned about doing things right more than he is concerned about doing the right things. Basically, what he's saying is you must focus on the right things, on the right issues. Because if you're not focused on the right issues, the activities, the energy that you will spend doing whatever you're doing will be wasted. And your activities will become strategically inaccurate. Okay? So the first issue with management is strategic accuracy. And you name it, whether it is a commercial company, a church, a nonprofit, a government bureaucracy, the vast majority are not strategically accurate. And if an organization is not doing the right things, is not paying attention on the right issues, they will be wasting the time, the efforts, and the resources of that organization. There's a verse here. It's in Ephesians 5, 15, 16. It says, therefore, be very careful how you live, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. The word careful means accurate. Okay? as opposed to inaccurate. Of course, the definition of sin is missing the mark. Okay? So if you hit the mark, you're righteous. But when you apply it to administration, to management, it's the same. Be very careful to be accurate. The word careful also means circumspect or disciplined as opposed to sloppy. Okay? And so I use this verse because that's the guiding verse in terms of being, for the purposes of being strategically accurate. Strategic accuracy is the same as accuracy in issue identification. To be strategically accurate, you must identify the right issues. Okay? In turn, that is a function of accuracy in identifying the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats of an organization and its business. If you want your strategy to be accurate, it must emanate, it must come from the issues that faces the organization and its business. Otherwise, what you're busy about will not hit the right chord. Okay? So, strategic accuracy means I must identify the right issues. And that is a function of accuracy in identifying strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Strategic accuracy is also predicated on the willingness to face the brutal facts about your organization and its business so that you can develop the appropriate strategy. Many managers, many leaders are unable to identify the right issues because they don't want to be honest about their situation. Okay? If you don't want to face the brutal facts, you don't have to be brutal. You can be gentle but face the brutal the harsh realities of your situation. If you are unable to do that, and it takes maturity, it takes honesty, it takes integrity to do that, you will not be able to develop the appropriate strategy. So you look at your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, and then you look at the results of your business and ask yourself, what are the issues? What concerns me about what we do? Roger Enrico, the former CEO of PepsiCo Inc., whenever there was a business that was not doing well, or there was a recurring problem or huge challenges in the business, he would walk into that business, meet with the top executives, and ask the question, is it us, or is it something else? Is it the market? Is it the economy? Is it competition? He was only joking, because he was driving the point. 9 out of 10, it's us. Okay? Because you don't control things outside. Okay? You only control us. Then he brings home the point. He's going to say, if it's us, what are the issues? Okay? If it's us, what are the issues? So, issue identification, strategic accuracy. Issue number two, execution rigor. It is one thing to be accurate in your strategy. It is another for you to be able to execute properly. Okay? Peter Drucker was half right. Sabi niya, effective executive does not do things right. He does the right things. That's only half true. Okay? You have to pay attention to the right things. The other truth is you must execute well. You must execute well. Execution rigor. Doing what it takes in exact precision to address the strategic issues thoroughly. Too many organizations try to do things, but they are not in exact precision. And as a result, the activity does not address the issue thoroughly. Hilaw po siya. Hindi siya tinatama ng husto. Lou Gerstner, former CEO of IBM, when he assumed the CEO position, IBM had lofty mission and vision statements. But he said, the last thing IBM needs now is vision. We simply have to execute well. Okay? We have to execute well. Now, Lou Gerstner was a very strategic, visionary. And he conceived of IBM walking away from hardware, selling computers, to selling services. And today, more revenue and profit is generated by IBM through services rather than through hardware. And as a result, it was able to reinvent itself as a company and not only survive, but thrive in the 21st century. It wasn't vision. It wasn't mission. It was execution. Ideas in and of themselves are commodity. Believe me, anyone can come up with an idea, but few people can execute. Okay? Execution is where you add value. When you think of an idea, that's commodity. Okay? That's rice. Okay? But execution, when you put the garlic and you put the fried rice, that's where you add value. Okay? Therefore, you must subvert the prevailing paradigm. What is the prevailing paradigm? Well, functional thinking is the prevailing paradigm. I'm just an accountant. That's not, identifying issues is not my business. I'm just the secretary, or I am just the graphics guy, or I am just the whatever person. See, if you want to become a good functional person, you must rise above narrow functional thinking. I call it, take a helicopter view of every situation, rise above the sea of detail that you're drowning in, and identify the issues, execute with excellence, and you will develop a GM mindset. Okay. Seven dimensions of the GM mindset. Number one, focused on the organization's mission and target customer. We are to honor God and make disciples. The ultimate measure of success in this business is when we have God-honoring disciples making other God-honoring disciples who will be making other God-honoring disciples, and so forth and so on. Okay? The GM mindset focuses on the mission and the primary customer. Number two, it is committed to effective leadership. Number three, it employs what I call the structure, process, people, issue identification framework. We'll explain that later. Number four, engages people concerned. The GM mindset is a team person, not a lone ranger. He gets the team engaged. Number five, targets continuous improvement. The GM mindset constantly combats complacency. The GM mindset realizes that success is the most dangerous experience in life because it will lull you into complacency. Okay? David fell at the height of his career as king. Okay? So be careful. If you have a GM mindset, you're like Freddie Roach. You know, Freddie Roach, he never parties. After Pacquiao wins, he goes home. Because he's got someone to train again the next day. He says, I don't party. He just keeps on working. He never is complacent. Look at Pacquiao. That guy, talk about a picture of somebody who is not complacent. That guy has transformed himself from one level of excellence to another. Okay? Because his trainer had the GM mindset. He was not complacent. Number six, decides based on facts processed into issues. You start with facts, but you process them into issues. I had a boss, if I walked into him and I said, boss, the sales are up. He said, so what? Well, they're up 10%. So what? What's the market? I said, it's up 12%. That's bad news. Get out of here. Why are your sales up only 10% when the market is up 12%? And if you told him sales are down 10%, he says, so what? What's the market doing? Oh, it's down 20. That's great news, Alex. So he said, Alex, don't bother me with facts. That's too low a level of detail. Start with the facts, but then process them into issues. Okay? An issue is a fact that has grown up. It's a mature fact. Okay? It is a useful fact because an issue frames the facts within the context. Okay? So, The GM mindset starts with facts, but processes them into issues. Okay? It's nice to talk to people who have processed facts into issues. Okay? Because they don't delude you with data. They synthesize the data into issues. And finally, develops mutually beneficial customer-supplier relationships. The GM mindset looks to the future and so builds enduring relationships using a win-win mindset. Okay. How does the GM mindset solve problems? Number one, categorizes problems as structure, process, and people issues. Okay. You must categorize the problem and you address the issue accordingly. If the issue is structural, you must change the structure. If the issue is a process issue, you must improve the process. If it is a people issue, you must solve it through leadership and people improvement. You cannot change a structural issue by improving a process. A telecoms company could not sell their SIM cards in one territory. So they changed the way they marketed the SIM cards. Didn't work. They changed the salesman. Didn't work. They changed the way they dealt with the distribution network. Didn't work. So some genius finally said, why don't we go to the field and ask what on earth is going on? What is the issue? So the guy in the field told him, eh, sir, mahina po yung signal. Magtayo po tayo ng cell site. See, there was a structural issue. They had to put up a structure. So they put up the structure because it was a structural issue, okay, which they were solving process-wise. So the signal was up. SIM cards were selling at full value. They did not have to discount the SIM cards because they addressed the right issues. You should not put up a structure to solve a process problem. In Del Monte, we used to enlarge the organization structure every time we had a problem in the cannery. Every time there was a problem, throw in more people. Because labor is cheap in the Philippines, and 300 contractuals are always standing by outside of the gate anyway. And so every time there was a problem, we threw in more people, such that our employee population ballooned to 14,000. When I left, it was down to 5,800. But the productivity was fourfold. Because the question we asked was this: why are we adding so many people? What's the issue? Well, it was a process issue. So I said, why don't we change the process? Why don't we improve the process through automation, through other process improvement steps? And we did. And we found out not only could we eliminate jobs, but our productivity increased. How do you improve a process? First of all, you have to map out the process. Okay? Anything. Okay? What is the process? Well, what's step one? Step one, person A does this, gives it to person B. Step two, person B does this, and it is approved or not approved. Step three, step four, step five, map out the process. You don't have to be a genius, just bullet point or a diagram, and find out where the process breaks down. Okay? When you find out that the process, there's an aha experience. Aha! So this is where it breaks down. Change the process. Change that part of the process. Implement that change. Sell it to the process owner. And then monitor the results. If the problem goes away, you have solved the problem through process improvement. If the problem does not go away, go back to the process. You probably did not hit where the process was breaking down. So change it again and implement again and monitor again. Yun po ang process improvement. Okay? I found out that if I read the Bible first before reading the newspaper, I can have my quiet time successfully. And if I can have my quiet time successfully, somehow God blesses me. My whole day is fantastic. But I had a process problem. I had a yearning for the world's news every morning. To me, coffee and newspaper was super. But my days were not blessed. And so I said, I need a process change. And I changed the process. Okay, my daughter is late often. And Paul, she would owe you 30 pages. But you know what? I told her, sweetheart, you need to change the process. Okay, because you decide on what to wear after you wake up. May I suggest you decide what to wear before you sleep? Okay? And it was a life-changing event. There was a process change. Are you with me? Okay. Because no amount of incentive will improve her tardiness. Because an incentive is a structure. There had to be a process change. Okay? All right. Principle. Structures plus processes plus people equals execution effectiveness. If structures and processes are sound, even average people will produce great results. Example is a call center agent. A call center agent, with all due respect to all call center agents, does not need a college degree. He only needs to know how to speak English in a certain twang, or depending on what coverage you have. Or one of my sons got into a part-time call center with HSBC, and he had to have a London accent, and it was really fun. But you see, he was still a student, but he could solve people's problems. You know why? Because of the super infrastructure of the IT system. Okay? A very lowly, inexperienced teenager can click the button and say, yes, oh, here is the solution to your problem. See, because of structure and process. Okay? If structures and processes are sound, even average people, and I told people, you know what? Del Monte is not the highest paying company in the Philippines. Okay? You know why? Because we learn process and structure. If the structure and process are okay, we don't have to pay for the highest, for the most brilliant person to come here. We can concentrate on character. And because the structures and processes are okay, we can get the people we really like, and we don't have to pay top dollar. Okay? Now, that might be bad news for you, admin types, but the point is this. You see, even average people will do great results. Now, above average people will not compensate for unsound structures and processes. You can get a summa cum laude with an MBA from Stanford and Harvard and MIT. Put him or her on that call center agent's chair. If the infrastructure is poor, there is no way that company will beat the company who's got a high school graduate with a better structure and process. Are you with me? As a matter of fact, this is the problem. Most companies hire the best people, but they don't pay attention to their structures and processes. And they want their above average people to compensate for unsound structures and processes. And that is a recipe for burnout. Okay? When there is 24/7 workload, okay? Am I hitting a chord here? Okay? There must be a process issue. Okay? Okay? If there is perennial overtime, perennial 24/7, take it easy. It could be a people problem, but let's assume it could be a process issue. It could be structural. Do we need more people? Do we need more computers? Do we need a better IT system? It could be process, or it could be people. But if structures and processes are not sound, even above average people will not compensate. Not for long anyway, because they'll all burn out. And you will lose good people. On the other hand, above average people plus sound structures and processes plus inspirational leadership will produce great, consistent results, creating a winning culture. And this is sustainable over the long term. And this is when it is fun to go to work. You jump out of bed, you can't wait to go to work. Okay? My children, when they were small, they went to a Montessori school. And that school got it. When my kids woke up, they would jump out of bed because they were going to go to school. I said, wow. If the Dep Ed says no school today because typhoon signal number 2, they literally cried because they want to go to school. I would that we manage our structures and processes so well that people can't wait to go to work because the culture will be developed. Now, SWOT analysis. SWOT analysis is a good issue identification tool, but it is often a meaningless exercise. So I offer here how not to make it a meaningless exercise. Essentially, you need to frame it against the mission, vision, and goals of the organization. Be brutally honest in your assessments. You don't have to be brutal, just be brutally honest in your assessments. And here's the most important part, extend the analysis to the implied strategic issue. Okay? I have built a consultancy business on this third point. Most people, when I walk into a client, they say, I ask them, have you done a SWOT? Oh, yes, Alex, we've done a SWOT. Can I see it? So they show me the SWOT. And I said, what have you done about the SWOT? They said, what do you mean? I said, well, where are the implications? Oh, you know, we don't, what do you mean? You see, many people don't know what to do with a SWOT. They know how to do a SWOT, but they don't know what to do with the results of a SWOT. And essentially, you must extend the discussion to the implied strategic issues. Address the gap between the mission and vision goals and the reality of current results and the organization's SWOTs. I want us to do a plenary exercise. Let me see, I am just on time, yes? Okay, I want 4 groups, and each group will brainstorm and record their ideas on flip charts, which Giselle will give you, on one element of the SWOT. 10 minutes, okay? Group 1 on strengths, group 2 on weaknesses, group 3 on opportunities, and group 4 on threats. And don't worry, you'll have an opportunity to address the other elements later. Just can we do that now?
Sound. Group 1, we're all going to be, there's going to be 7 of us per group. 2 of us are missing today, May, who's out of the country, and Charles, who's sick. So, but other than that, we're all good. So this is group 1, 7 people here. Group 2, Spinky all the way up to Henry. Okay, so Pinky, Ado's table, and Henry. Group 3 will be Cricket's table, Pam's table, and Gans. And then, okay, group four is Chryso Dexter, Jay, Jerry, and the back table, Evelyn's table. Okay, so those are the assignment topics.
So who's group 1 again?
Group 1 is this table.
1,
yeah.
2.
Three and four.
Okay.
Just assign a facilitator, just so that for the sake of discussion, we're good to go. This is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Can you please write under the assumption that these will be posted on the wall so the class can see, huh? The class can see your writing, all right? All right, you have 10 minutes. We'll finish at 9:45. Ready? Go. We are talking about the administration function, okay? Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats of the admin function. Not church as a whole, admin function, okay? Okay. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want the whole class to go around the room looking at strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, particularly if that was not your group's assignment. And you can add whatever you want to add. So everyone has a contribution to SWOT, all right? Okay, I'll give you 10 minutes. Just go around and just add to the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. All right? Just go around and borrow the pencil pen. We're on a brainstorming format, so it's not, there will be no editing. Just add what you want to add. Add what you feel should be added. If you are not finished with your assignment, you can continue. Church admin. We're talking about, Victory Church admin, Metro Manila. Come on, don't be shy. Where are the pens? Okay, who was in charge of opportunities? Opportunities. What do you mean, goodwill advantage? Ah, okay. With community, with the community. All right. Postmodern generation, what do you guys mean? Cricket? Ano ibig sabihin to? Postmodern generation? Our church is filled. Okay? All right? All right? All right? All right? All right? Last 2 minutes. Markers. We need a marker. Who's got a marker that's not being used? 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Okay.
We can add to the
last 1 minute. 1 minute. Last 30 seconds. Ten seconds. Okay, can you all go back to your seats? Hey, let's process, okay, let's process. Now, the idea, we're going to have a break in about 6.5 minutes. The idea is not so much accuracy as to go through the experience, okay? Typically, a SWOT should take probably 2 hours. Okay, and we did it in 10 minutes. Okay, now let's go through them. All right, strengths: highly committed staff, strong relationships, clear vision and mission, strong emphasis on family values, passion for excellence, unity, one church, very passionate about the ministry, no politicking or little politicking, Bible-based missions, leadership, leaders are secure and empowering, strong corporate culture, excellent facilities, sufficient resources, high trust level, oversight structures are clear. Weaknesses, undefined organization structure. There's a disconnect here. That's all right. Job description is not clearly defined. Unclear expectations and deliverables. Limited employee orientation. Loopholes in communication flow. Weak data system. Staff development. Not able to keep up with the rapid growth. Process developed is not advanced enough. Reverse engineering is usual. What does this mean? Reverse engineering is what?
Since situation or the process that's developed is just for the moment or the situation. So when growth kicks in, we need to.
Okay.
Instead of.
Okay, reactive, not proactive. All right. Improvement on staff assessment. You mean we need to improve? All right. Lack of feedback mechanism, understaffed and overworked finance department. Perennial overtime, weak follow through with previous decisions. Lack of career path. The Holy Spirit talks on a Saturday night. Okay. looks like lack of planning discipline. Lack of planning discipline. By the way, that's a typical pastor ailment. I know where they live. I was a pastor before.
Overzealousness.
Compromises.
Priorities.
Opportunities. We have a pool of untapped resources. Where? In the church? Yes, very good. First movers among churches. Sounds like a strength, actually. We can maximize technology. Location and network, okay. Yeah, we have good locations and good networks. Collaboration among local church admins, okay. You mean there's an opportunity to collaborate.
Yes.
Right. We have goodwill, and we can take advantage of that. We address the postmodern, the young people, okay? Fusion of young and old generation, okay, yeah? In other words, I know what's the opportunity here?
Multi-generational work together.
Okay.
So there are opportunities for that, for mentoring, teaching,
okay. All right.
Development.
All right, I got it, okay.
Alex? Some of those look like strengths.
Exactly.
What's the difference?
They're first cousins. Okay?
The rule of thumb would be strengths and weaknesses are internal, and opportunities and threats are outside the organization.
It's a rule of thumb, but not necessarily. But yes, the fact that this is an opportunity, okay? This is a strength. In other words, if you are able to speak to both old and young people, that is a strength. Large pool of potential volunteers who are veterans in their fields, yes, this is also a strength. Okay,
yes.
But it is also an opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe there is a large pool, but it's not being tapped.
Yeah.
Okay, cities and especially poorer areas with no victory. Yes, okay. In other words, we have a good model. Why are we not in some areas where we should be? All right. Threats. Too much process stifle growth delivery. Too much process stifle growth delivery. All right. Work-life balance. The threat is people might leave. Compromise relational culture because of too much work. All right. In other words, sounds like there could be a structure process people issue here. If not addressed, these two are connected. Okay.
Yeah.
In other words, people are becoming not nice with one another because there's too much work. Okay. Last minute changes from directors, pastors, compromise results. We heard that before. This group considers that a threat. Again. It could come back to work-life balance. Organizational planning, short timetable, poor quality. Growing crowd, there could be security issues. Easy media target. Possible jealousy from body of Christ. Okay. We are associated with high-profile members. Being churchy in terms of relationships that can threaten the structure and processes. I don't understand this.
Thank you. Sometimes within administration or within the churches, we work together. Sometimes we think na, okay, maybe I told you that, and then probably we just don't follow the process anymore because we know I told you that, or we mentioned that to you, or knowing that we know each other, so
okay.
About relationships.
Outgrowing facilities, cost to purchase building, large enough venues. Okay, tell you what, why don't we have a break, 10 minutes. What we're going to do after the break is we're going to go back here and try to distill 8 to 10 issues. Okay,
yeah.
So start thinking about that even as you're drinking your coffee.
We're going to give you till 10, 11, because we went a little over. 10, 11. So there's some strange foods back there to eat for you.